tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello. How are you doing? My name is Liz. This is JD. He's special to the pod. And this is RBLR Sun.
Good morning. Hello. How are you doing, Liz?
I'm doing okay. I'm tired. I started a new job this week and I haven't worked in several months, and now I'm like, oh, so many things at once.
Yes, I can imagine. Congratulations.
It is nice to be employed again.
I am still employed, and that is going fine. And that's all we'll say about that.
Okay.
But what's kind of fun is that we had a little watch party for the World Cup game. And by we, I mean literally just you, me, and Tia, my wife.
and the one guy in the top
and the one guy in the back in the top row. And the four of us went to watch, was it Argentina and Switzerland, the quarterfinal game, the final quarterfinal at the movie theater on the Telemundo broadcast that I think AMC and CMX are showing the Telemundo broadcast in theaters. And we were like, screw it. Random. What day of the week was it even? Saturday?
Saturday
night? Yeah. Random Saturday night. Post up at the movies. Watch a World Cup game. That was pretty fun. I had a good time.
Yeah. No, especially because we thought it was just going to be a blowout. Like, just Argentina running away with it. And then Switzerland was like, nah, we're going to be a man down for like an hour and still not, and then give up a goal.
Yeah. My GOAT, Dan Ndoye, Nottingham Forest player, scored a wonderful equalizer for Switzerland, and it was promising for, it was like the USA game where we equalized, and then for like 1 minute I was happy, and then, you know, in the USA game, they scored again. In the Switzerland game, they got the red card, so. But that was a lot of fun, so thanks for inviting yourself to mine and Tia's watch party at the movies, because we had a good time. And speaking of watch parties, I'll just roll right into this. I messaged the team on Instagram after our episode last week where we asked the viewers, and we were talking in the Heatwave Discord about possibly doing watch parties for these upcoming away games at the beginning of this next season for the Sun. And the team got back to me and they don't have any details yet, nor did I ask them for them, but they are planning, it is in the works to do watch parties. I the way I phrased the question was like for the first three games of the season. So I hope they have something scheduled, or maybe they're just working on getting a partner for every game. So I would personally, I think we're not that big of a community of Sun fans that I think if the team officially does something, we should probably try and do that with them if it's reasonable, you know, instead of planning our own thing. I don't know if their plan sucks. Maybe we will still, but we do know officially that the team is working on getting some watch parties together, which would be a fun way. I mean, like the season opener being away is kind of a bummer. So it would be nice to be with other fans, see how the new Sun shapes up. You know, we're playing Dallas in the first game of the season, almost exactly a month away, August 15th. And this episode comes out on July 15th. So yeah, we're ramping up, but we'll see how what the details are on those watch parties. I assume in the next couple of weeks they'll announce some things. And speaking of announcing some things, Liz, if you're ready to start rolling into the episode, are you ready? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So the team also announced, well, for one, a new signing, which Liz is going to tell us about in a few minutes. So that's super exciting. But we did get official confirmation on another player that was on our we don't know what's going on list, and that's Faith Weber. So the team officially thanked Faith Weber. As I understand it, she is back in Denver. She was with the Summit, signed over there. So she was just on loan to us for the season. I said it in the last episode. Thank you for your service to the Sun. We appreciate you. But the team also, without announcing it, updated the website. And I don't know if they know, but they do now, that we know when you update the website. We know when you update the roster page. We can tell. So I will say that what we know from the website update is that Maddie Picorni and Parker Goins, who are the two other players that we have no news about so far, have been removed from the roster page with no official announcements. So the difference between them is Parker was a rostered Sun player. She was signed to the team. Maddie was alone. So my thought on that was always that Maddie was going to return to Louisville, or she was not going to be with the Sun already by default. And Parker, we had not heard, they did not announce her departure, but they also did not say they were, that she was returning. So we still don't know anything about them, but why would you remove them from the roster page on the website if they were coming back, is my thought on that. So we will see if any news comes from either of those players or from the team regarding either of those players, but just know that they are removed off the roster page. And it seems like they did some other housekeeping on the roster page, because the other two data points that we noticed were that Shea Connors is taking over number 9, which was her number at Sydney FC, but also just kind of a traditional striker number. So she's going to take the number 9, and Liz Beardsley is taking over number 17. So they changed from last season, and Liz wore that number in college. So I think she just, you know, saw the list of available numbers and decided to take that one for this fall season, which while she is on loan, she's on loan to us through the end of 2026, which is this full season, just to recap all of that where we're at. So that was a roster page update on the website. Those numbers changed, those players were removed. Otherwise, we don't know anything else really that's going on. But I figure we'll talk about our new Sun signing, and then later on in the episode, we'll talk about other teams' rosters and how those are shaping up. And that's kind of what we're doing in this episode, since we didn't have a ton of Sun-specific news.
But the one little bit of Sun-specific news we do have, we signed Jasmine Ferguson. She is a defender, fresh from LSU, where she received the following awards in her senior year. 2025 All-SEC team, 2025 All-Tournament team, 2025 Louisiana Defensive Player of the Year, which is very specific. I'm not saying it's not a good award, just very specific. And she was the 2025 captain for LSU. Some of her stats: she was one of only 4 players to start in all 25 matches and logged a team high of 2,236 minutes. She finished with 2 goals and 3 assists for 7 points while helping LSU return to the national rankings for the first time since 2021. She ended her collegiate career with 9 goals, 4 assists between her stints at East Carolina University and LSU. Nice. So not sure if she'll be starting because she is very, you know, young. She's very new. But I, you know, it sounds like she's got some fire in her. So even if she's like a 60 or 70th minute sub, I think it'll be a really good addition. She'll be a good addition.
Yeah. Yeah. She definitely brings some pedigree. I mean, all SEC, that's pretty significant.
Yeah, because that includes UF, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm so bad at when it comes to colleges and like conferences. So
no, SEC is in women's soccer is definitely one of the more notable ones. I don't think it's the highest, like the absolute best, but it's definitely one of the more notable ones in women's soccer. So super excited for Jasmine. And that was the last new, that was the last like, they just, I think that was on Wednesday after our episode posted, and they were like, here's one more player.
Yeah, so Sun admin.
Get to it.
Yes, more signings.
but what we can do for the rest of this episode is, if you have not looked around the league, we certainly have, and we will give you an update on where everything is at, because it's kind of interesting. And one thing that we kind of didn't cover in our last episode when talking about Dallas and their updates, as well as just in general larger things happening, not just player signings, is coaching changes. And there have been 2 so far announced. I don't know if we're expecting any more. I don't know why I said it like that. There's been 2. And the first one is at Brooklyn. So Brooklyn signed Alex Smith as their new head coach. And I wanted to give some context to this. They hired a new GM, Samantha Johnson, at the start of June. We talked about it in our episode right at the start of June, in that first week, how she had just joined the team. So I think they might be a little bit behind, if not on the business end of things. I think they're a little bit behind, at least on the social media posts of coming and goings. They wanted to probably get the coach announced and then start announcing the players. And they just started doing like their thank yous for their departing players in this past like 2 weeks. Since they announced Alex Smith as head coach. In terms of Alex, though, he formerly was managing at the A-League's Brisbane Roar, and he led a, quote, multi-year rebuild of the squad, and they made their first playoff semifinals appearance in a long time. And he is very highly regarded for his work there and how over the few years he was there, they kept adding new pieces and they got better and better over time. And that definitely sounds like something Brooklyn needs to do. So he seems like the man for the job in Brooklyn. I mean, obviously we hope they're not too good and they lose the Sun every time, but otherwise we are interested in the league, the level of the league improving. And it seems like Alex would contribute to that. As a player, he played for FC Dallas and then went over to the A-League as well on the men's side and played for Wellington Phoenix and Gold Coast United. So he had some experience in Australia as a player. Like I said, he went there as a manager on the women's side, and now he is back here coaching for Brooklyn. So that's kind of interesting that they picked up somebody also from the A-League. I didn't know my A-League extended rant on the last episode was going to become irrelevant, or was it going to become relevant so quickly. But yeah, coaches in the A-League, if they were successful over there, which Alex Smith was, it definitely makes sense that Super League teams would look to sign them. Anything to get the Super League's Opta rankings out of the 500s. You know what I'm saying? So that is what's going on up in Brooklyn.
All right. Dallas Trinity got a new head coach. It is Lee Wynn. The club announced, I think, at the same time that the first team manager, Nathan Thackeray, and the technical director, Chris Petrucelli, have departed Dallas Trinity. So this is who he's taking the place of. So returning to Texas, where he was born, Lee Wynn, I always forget if you pronounce the end, I apologize, is the new coach of the Dallas Trinity. He spent some time in the Netherlands, Denmark, Vietnam, and then came back to the U.S. to play in the MLS to finish his, from 2012 to 2020. And then he finished his career in China in 2022. He has 11 caps for the United States between the U20 team that he played on and the senior team. He basically started coaching right after retiring from playing. He was working for the Washington Spirit, or actually was in between seasons because he was working for the Washington Spirit as an assistant coach in 2021. And as I said, his last year was playing in China 2022. So after that, he moved around the NWSL basically every year, which is kind of must give him a really interesting point of view from so many different coaching perspectives, just being around. So he started at Kansas in 2023, Angel City in 2024, and was with the Seattle Reign until recently when he took the Dallas job. Quote from the article on the Dallas Trinity website is that Wynn's return to North Texas also represents a full circle moment. During the COVID-19 pandemic, he returned home and helped coach the girls team for the Dallas Texans, an experience that sparked his transition from an accomplished playing career into coaching. He now returns to lead Dallas Trinity FC into its next era. So, very cool. I love that they got someone local. I like when you can do that because then I feel like they also focus on making, you know, picking up more players that are local, you know, your Sealy, not low, Lexi Misamos. So very cool. Congratulations to Dallas. I hope he is just good enough to not beat us.
Yes. As with every other signing on every team, they should be just good enough to make the league better, but not better than us.
Yes.
Which then also implies that I need Sun to be top of the league, which is the standard for me. So.
Yes, obviously. We've never been top of the league, but let's not talk about
that. That's true. That's true. So, yeah, we're about to get into a ton of info. So I just want to preface all of this by saying we are going to list every signing that every club has made so far. We're going to say their position And what I noted is just their previous club or university, if they're from university. So that is where we are at. We're going to throw a lot of info at you. So there will not be a test on this. You don't have to remember every player. But what we're going to try and do is contextualize it in terms of where the team finished last year, how many players that they kind of like retained, or how many players like they still need if we're expecting more signings from them, and kind of what the profile of player they're signing is. And you'll notice as we go through these that the teams who finished a little bit worse are signing a little bit more promising prospects, and the teams who did really well don't really need to do that much work at all. So yes. And also keep in mind as we go through these that the minimum roster for the Super League, I believe, is 20. I didn't find a fully official number on that. I did see an ESPN article that referenced it. So I don't know if that's changed since that article, but we think the minimum roster is 20 players, and then 5 academy slots are like fillable, which the Sun had 4 last year, for example. So using the Sun, as we already have discussed all of the Sun's happenings, we finished 8th last year. We've retained 10 players between last year and this year, and we've signed 8 so far. And then my not so fun fact is across the entire season, we released 22 players total, which is crazy. That's literally an entire Super League roster of just released players from the Sun. But apart from all that, you can do the math. We have 18 players on our roster. The minimum is 20. We expect a few more signings to come before the end of the off season. So, and I would say definitely not just 2 to fill out the 20 person roster. I feel like it'll be maybe like 5 or so, or maybe we want a little more depth. I don't know, but that is how we're approaching looking at this teams. And this first one is super easy. It's Brooklyn FC, who finished 7th last year. They've kept 10 players and they have not announced a single signing for this year yet, but they need at least 10. So those are on the way. We just talked about it, though. They just signed Alex Smith. Well, maybe they didn't just sign him, but they just announced him. And I think they wanted to have that announcement done and all of their thank yous, which they are currently posting for departing players before they announce any of the new signings. So I assume in the next 2 weeks or so, we should probably get the signings from Brooklyn. But they need to sign at least 10. And again, that's the metric that we're kind of looking at all the teams with. For Carolina, they are in a little bit better position. They actually kept the most players in the league. So if you remember, they finished 3rd and they lost in the playoffs to Jacksonville, who were the eventual runners up, but they kept 20 full players. They kept almost their whole roster, essentially, but their signings are kind of crazy. If you're keeping almost the whole roster and you're only adding 1 or 2 pieces, I don't think you can do better than Carolina has done. They won the battle for Hope Heisey at goalkeeper. So if you are not familiar, we're kidding. You are absolutely familiar with Hope Heisey, goalkeeper of the year, Super League, probably most notable player. She's elite. It was very disappointing that Spokane Zephyr folded, not only because a club folded and a lot of people lost their jobs, but Hope was local to there. That was her club. It was great. So yes, we assume there was probably a bloodbath behind the scenes for contracts for Hope, offers being sent her way, and Carolina did the best, had the best offer for her. So that is where she's headed. You finish 3rd and you lost in the playoffs, and then you sign the best goalkeeper. I think you're in a pretty good position, to be honest. Their other signing is Reese Tappan, who also is from Spokane. She is a center back, and she was in the All-League selection last year. So not only did they improve at goalkeeper, the best you can get, they also signed an all-league center back as well to even more so keep the ball away from their net. Very impressive signings. And like I said, they already kept 20 players. So this could theoretically be their full roster. I think you could expect maybe 1 or 2. Maybe they'll sign academy people. maybe they'll sign some academy kids. They are people. They're kids. You know, but it seems like they are pretty close to a complete roster. And they finished 3rd last year and they looked pretty strong. So they didn't need to do a huge turnover. And they didn't. But they won the battle for Hope. So that is pretty nuts up in Carolina.
Yeah, I'm assuming then that they're going to keep Philip Poole, who is just, he's a really phenomenal coach and kind of a funny dude. he actually talked to us after the Carolina game. So like him a lot. Glad he's staying. But if he could maybe coach his players a little less good, that would be great.
there are going to be some great players up there. That is quite
it's weird. Okay. It's not fair that they get Sydney Martinez and Hope Heisey. You should only be able to have one. It should be like when they had like national team players in the U and the NWSL, and it was like you could only have like two at a time. Oh, it's not fair. Dallas Trinity, our next team up, is finished fourth. They lost in the first round of playoffs. There's only two rounds to Lexington. They kept 9 total players, and they picked up at least 2 pretty good players. I was trying to think of a phrase and I couldn't think of it. Two really good players, honestly. We have Sophie Braun, midfielder, formerly of the Spokane Zephyr, Argentina international. She's a World Cup gold scorer. She's an all-women's World Cup first team. It's kind of crazy. It's like her and Jill Aguilera, man. It's nuts. They also picked up Juliet Moore. She's a midfielder, formerly of University of Houston. Carissa Beckman, a midfielder formerly of Benfica, but was a Tampa Bay United W League player in 2023. So, if only to add insult to injury. And then Allie Cook, a forward you probably definitely remember from Spokane Zephyr as well. Makes sense that they would pick up the pair of them. They were two big standouts from Spokane. Honestly, Spokane was really, really good in individual pieces. I think it just never really quite came together.
Yeah. And that tracks from, I think, if the management wasn't fully committed, I mean, their team folded, they obviously were not fully committed. That is understandable that they could build a good roster, you know, and hire individual players, but that, you know, the coaching staff and the training and things like that might not have all been there for it to translate to results on the field. I also just noticed while you were reviewing Dallas's signings that every single team has signed a Zephyr, which makes sense. Their entire roster was available except for Fort Lauderdale, but they still have more signings, I think, that haven't been announced yet. So everyone gets a Zephyr player.
You get a Zephyr. You get a Zephyr.
Yeah.
I gotta make that meme.
This won't sound like insensitive, but like it's interesting for the league that a team folded and that all of those players became available and that it like distributes across the rest of the league. Like that's like the biggest change you would have in a league is one whole team leaving and all of those players being distributed out. I am not happy it happened. None of that is to say that's a positive thing, but purely from like a roster building team, like the league progressing standpoint, it's interesting that
it's a reverse expansion draft.
Yes. Yeah. It's an implosion draft, unfortunately. So
really funny.
Yes, that was actually very apt. You were absolutely correct.
Thank you.
The next team that we're going to talk about is DC Power FC, who finished 6th last year, so they missed the playoffs, and they kept 12 players. And I do want to reference DC Power and Dallas Trinity being the teams that first announced their departures, and they both had a ton of departures and everyone was worried. They were like, every team is dropping every single player. The whole league is folding. The sky is falling. That was the beginning of the off season. That's how everyone felt, but it was just Dallas and DC that were dropping half their rosters. But DC has picked up half a roster now to make up for it. Starting with Tyler Lucy, a midfielder formerly from Carolina Ascent. I think that's a pretty great signing. She was definitely very solid at Carolina, and it's kind of a coup. I mean, DC looks like they're taking some things seriously this year. Emma Yaskinek from Spokane Zephyr. That's their Zephyr. That's who they got. She's a midfielder. And then they had a couple college players, Kayla Colbert, a forward formerly from the University of Southern California, and also Tatum Thomason, who's a midfielder who was a Arizona State Sun Devil. And then Sarah McCoy was center back over at the Spokane Zephyr. And Katie Capoletti was a goalkeeper formerly at the KC Current, but she had no appearances. I think she actually was at 2 separate or 3 separate NWSL teams over the past 3 years with no appearances. So she is just kind of the third string training keeper. So we'll see if she makes any appearances. I feel like she might be a backup in DC as well, but maybe a second keeper. Maybe she gets the upgrade.
Yeah, maybe, because I think they let go of Morgan Aquino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Next, we have Fort Lauderdale United. Fort Farterdale.
you literally made me check to see if that's what I wrote in the doc. I was like, I copied it.
Very possible. It's very possible. Fort Farterdale. They finished ninth. They kept 13 players. They picked up Grace Cutler, a forward, formerly from a Croatian club that has too many consonants for me to be able to pronounce. She was in the 2019 NWSL draft, but unfortunately never appeared in the NWSL. And they also picked up Heather Hins, a goalkeeper formerly from Sydney FC, missed being teammates with Shea Connor by 12 days.
Yeah, I think she was. I think Shea was released on the 18th, and she was signed the 30th of June last year.
Yeah,
that was my fun fact about Heather. Next up is Lexington SC. You know them, you hate them. They won the championship last year. And they kept 17 of those players. That makes sense. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. The players that they did sign, though, well, they got their Zephyr. That's the formula. Everyone gets a Zephyr. But they signed prospects otherwise. So they signed Mars Josephin from the University of Kentucky. She's a goalkeeper. Mac Midgley, a midfielder from the University of Tennessee. And Gracie Falla? Yeah. Who is a fullback defender from the University of South Carolina. And their Zephyr is Katie Murray, who plays in the midfield. So, like I said, not a lot of need to improve the championship winning team. They kept 17 of those players. They signed four now, so they have at least a minimum roster. Maybe they'll get a couple more, but why not bring back all your champions for the next season, you know?
Yeah. Also, 10 out of 10 soccer name, Mac Midgley. That's so good. That's straight out of like a book or a movie or something. I love it. Sporting Jax, the championship runner-up, has kept 15 players. Makes sense. And of course, they picked up their one Zephyr. They picked up Ginger Fontenot, which is she's a fullback defender. Excellent player. Kind of was hoping we would pick her up, but that's okay. That's fine. And then a handful of college graduates, fresh out of college. We have Melina Descari, forward, formerly of the University of South Alabama. AJ Hennessy, midfielder, formerly of Texas Christian University. Macy Teeter, midfielder, formerly of Vanderbilt University. Keely Doctor.
Yeah.
It's okay. So she spells it D-O-C-K-T-E-R. So it looks like you spelled doc, like doctor. It's funny. She's a center back, formerly of the University of Portland. And then Amanda Porbaugh, a goalkeeper, formerly from Penn State.
Yeah. That scares me when the two finalists last year are like, we literally don't need to sign professional players.
We're going to invest in some youth. Oh no.
Yeah. So to recap, and then I read all the names again. No. To recap, Brooklyn has not announced anybody, but they need a lot of players. So expect announcements from Brooklyn. Probably expect some more from Dallas and DC as well. And Fort Lauderdale, I think, are the four clubs that I would say are most needing to sign more players. The Sun do as well. So I think we will see a few new Sunnies in the next couple weeks. But I've not heard, I don't know. I haven't, or the Instagram sleuthing has not returning dividends anymore. We sleuthed actually Jasmine right before she was signed, but otherwise I don't have any new leads. So dial into the show with your fresh new leads from your Instagram sleuthing. Because we need to know who else we're going to sign. But yeah, very, very kind of interesting. I mean, everybody gets a Zephyr, makes sense, of course. And just pretty linear. If you were bad, you are signing better players. You're signing the good players. You had more money. available, or they're putting more money forward to get players that are going to be making differences. Although Dallas is a standout kind of surprise for me, because they did make the playoffs and they still turned over more than half their roster going into next season. So that is very interesting to me.
Yeah, Dallas is a funny one, because last year too, I was surprised when they ended up getting rid of their coach. They got rid of Pauline McDonald after the first year, and I was like, they made it to the semifinals.
Yeah, but remember, they do have new ownership. So yeah. One thing that article that I was talking about last week said was that the Neal family still worked on these transfers in. They were still working on building a roster for this year before they relinquished ownership, sold the team. So that would explain part of it, is that just a new ownership is going to want new faces or has different ideals, or now Lee Wynn is in there as head coach and he might have different ideas of what he wants to do. So it makes sense that there is turnover, but it's kind of weird because they were a good team last year. Although they won a three-way battle. I mean, they were the least worst of three kind of mid teams. No disrespect to any of them. We finished below all of them, but you know, we're hoping for a different story this year. And yeah, that number, the Sun released number, is just so crazy. 22 players. I mean, it makes sense. We know the Sun had a ton of players this year, but it is going to be so much easier if we can keep a consistent roster for the podcast's sake. I had to learn so many players' names, you know, and we respect all of them. We appreciate their time with the club. But if there could be less of you next year, that would be super cool. For consistency's sake, I mean, we turned over half the roster in the midseason break. So
yeah,
that was a big part of it, is like all of our new signings at the beginning of the 25-26 season were like not duds, but like it just didn't work out. And so we turned over almost all of them, signed a bunch more and got a bunch on loan. And now obviously the loanees go back or were already recalled in the middle of the spring, and we're where we are now. But I'm liking these new signings. I think we have a pretty cool group coming in, and I'm very excited for them to get moving. Oh, we did get a photo dump as well on the Sun Instagram of like the first couple days of training. We got like 6 or 7 photos from the team with the players tagged, so that was fun. Strategically cropping out anyone they haven't announced yet, surely. It's
very annoying that they've started doing that. I was about to say, I was like, and then there were no hints, not even a little bit.
Well, I'll start yapping at the admin on Instagram and Twitter again, and we'll see if we can get any more hints dropped forward. Because I feel like now that we've done the whole league and we've done our team, I don't know what we're going to talk about next week if there's not a ton of announcements.
The World Cup ends this weekend. What are we going to do with our lives?
I don't know. The dead month between the end of the... I mean, now I will say tomorrow night tonight, as you're listening to this, if you listen on release day, is the Queens Classic. So Gotham are going up to Citi Field in New York. They're playing at the Met Stadium, and it is sold out. Well, it is 40,000 tickets sold. And there's 42,000 seats. So if they don't sell the extra 2,000 seats.
I think they'll take the hit and buy those even.
Yeah. That is happening tonight if you're listening to this on Wednesday, July 15th. So tune into that, because in a month, we're not going to have very much. The end of the will still be going on, and MLS will be back for American domestic soccer. But, you know, if you're jonesing, that might be a cool watch for women's professional soccer tomorrow. But otherwise, yeah, what are we gonna do with our lives?
I literally don't know.
We'll see. We're gonna get it really into the Northern Super League, who announced a new team today or yesterday.
Oh, I want to. I like the names. The Halifax Tides is a cool name. They have there's a one that's the Roses, I think. I can't remember them off the top of my head, but yeah. I want to.
Maybe.
But I need it sounds so cliche. I need storylines. Give me something to pull on the heartstrings, make me care.
I mean, I feel like it's out there if we look for it, you know.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. I followed the Northern Super League on Instagram. I'm sure it's all over.
You just got to actually like read the captions.
Yeah. Just stop and read the posts. Yeah.
Well, Liz, is that all you have for this evening?
this morning. I think so. Make sure you're following us on all the socials. We are at RBLR Sun FC on social things, and then at RBLR Sports on the YouTube, where you can see our beautiful faces and sometimes kittens. Not today, kittens, but are well.
There was one today. You were talking. Yeah. She's been here.
Kitty, hello. Little void with eyes. I love her.
And I'm not out wearing a black shirt today, so.
And we could. So yeah, we can actually see her.
Yeah.
Yeah, so make sure you're watching on YouTube, if only for kitties, and also because we laugh at stuff and it's funny. I'm Lizzie the Lion on Blue Sky. He's Mom Says I'm Ultra on Twitter. This is RBLR Sun FC.
Let's do the whole outro again.
Yeah. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.